I want to get into the message today. This is the message that we've been going over the last 2 weeks that I spoke, and it is in regard to the Holy Spirit prayer list. And I hope that you've been appreciating it. If you're just joining us for the first time, I want to go through some of the points, and we're going to end up posting these online on our website as well. But just taking a look through, I'm not reading through them, but I'll just give you a chance to look at some of these things. But what I hope that you've been seeing as we look at this list is not just a list of things that I need to pray that, I need to pray that, but really a revelation of the heart and mind of God and what He does and what He is willing to do for His servants, the saints. Because in essence, God is saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here to face your enemies for you and go against them. I'm here to be on your side when it is needed. I'm here to give you words of prophecy and encouragement and wisdom that if people come against you, I can pour out my spirit on them. And if you need the spirit in order to minister to one another, I am here for that. And ultimately, God is saying, do you realize that I'm on your side? Do you realize that I'm here to help you? Do you realize that I'm not expecting you to do this alone or without power? But what we're doing is developing a relationship with the Creator whereby we look to Him for His wisdom, His guidance, His power, His direction, that He gives us the help we need so that we can be who He made us to be and that we can grow in fellowship both with Him and with one another and experience and provide the deliverance that God wants us to have. And so as we go through this list and look at these various things, just to see the list that is here and just to note that God put forth these verses to inspire us to come before Him and to ask for things. And as this sermon started a couple weeks ago, it was based on the thought that Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, the door will be opened. And He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will the Father give the Spirit to those who ask? In other words, God is saying, do you see I'm on your side? Do you see that I love you? Do you see that I'm here to be with you and I want to walk with you through life? And what an amazing thing that's happening. Because what God is doing through flesh, these jars of clay that we are, He is actually demonstrating His power to overcome spiritual wickedness, principalities, darkness, wickedness in high places, that He is showing the power over the devil, that mortal fleshly beings are overcoming sin and death and darkness by the power of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And I hope what you've been seeing is in these themes of how God is saying, let me show you how I'll tell you what's going to happen. Let me show you what I want to do. Let me show you my will. Let me direct people to give you encouragement and strength. Let me pour out my spirit upon flesh and let's see what happens. And all of these verses that we've looked at so far have been demonstrating that and basically showing us the power of God in our lives. And so let's continue on with our prayer list today. But I just think it's so amazing when you really think about what God is really showing through these scriptures, His great love and His great loyalty to His servants and His saints. All right, we're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. This is John the Baptist speaking, and he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So what I want us to ask for on our prayer list is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. To receive that immersion. You know, sometimes in life we look at baptism as something that happened, that we got baptized. But that is not what baptism is. Baptism is something that, yes, it takes place when we go into the water and we're immersed in the water and we come out and we receive of the Holy Spirit. But we are immersed into the death of Christ every day. And we are to be immersed into the life of Christ every day. When we say, Father, bless me with your Spirit, fill me with your Spirit, we should be asking for a full immersion in our lives. Now, if you can imagine yourself as being in a body of water, completely immersed with the water everywhere around you, I want you to think about praying the prayer, Father, baptize me. Jesus, you who came to baptize in the Spirit, immerse me in the Spirit for this day. Because we need to be immersed in His Spirit if we're going to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we need to be immersed in His Spirit if we're going to be who God created us to be. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. So the first point is to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. The next point today comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 to 20 that say, But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, this is maybe one of the things that humanly we want to think about ahead of time. I don't know about you, but I'm slow. Like, it takes me a while to really think about what I want to say or do. And, you know, when you're around quick-witted people that I am a lot, it's like I'm quiet most of the time. I don't always know what to say. It takes me a little more time. But you know what gives me great assurance is that I have walked with God long enough to know that there are times when I need to have something to say, that He gives me the words to say in the time that's needed. And I'm very thankful for that. And I encourage you to pray for that, that God, when I need to speak, just give me the words. Take away my fret. Take away my fear. Let me just be open to you and receive from you the words that you would have me to speak. And so again, he says, when they deliver you up, don't be afraid and don't worry about what to speak, because you will receive the words from the Father by the Holy Spirit of what you should say. All right, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. Let's hit our next point here. Matthew chapter 12. So that point that we just left was to pray for God's Spirit so that we would not worry when we are delivered up, but that He would give us the words to say. So this next one is Matthew chapter 12. And notice with me in verse 18, as we continue our walk through the scriptures here today, Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18. And it actually begins here. Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and the smoking flask he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, Gentiles will trust. Isn't that awesome? I want you to really think about this. Sometimes it's hard to really put ourselves in the shoes of this because maybe we find ourselves in a place of belief. But I want you to think about the fact that Jesus was born physically of the tribe of Judah. He was a Jew. Now, Jesus, when he was born as a Jew, the Jews were people that were despised. The Romans, when they came in, despised the Jews. And if you look at basically Jews throughout history, they've been a despised people. So I want you to think of what a message this is that went forth that was bringing justice to the Gentiles, who generally are against the Jews, that they would put their faith and hope in their own salvation in a Jew, in Jesus. The Greeks think, as it says, Paul, you know, it's foolishness. The Jews are looking for a sign. But what the Spirit of God can do is come upon to proclaim justice to the Gentiles. And through the greatest act of injustice this world has ever known, God brought forth justice for every man who would receive it. He brought forth a justification to life and a life that is abundant and worth living. And that God did that for you and me, and He did it by the Spirit. And so the direction and the prophecy that the Spirit of God would come, that justice would be declared to the Gentiles, to non-believers. So that's our point, to ask for God's Spirit to declare justice to non-believers or Gentiles. Let's turn over now just a few verses down, Matthew 12 and verse 28, where it says this, But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. Now, Jesus was being challenged. They actually said he's casting out demons by demons. And Jesus was like, come on, that's really a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Demons aren't casting out demons. But what he said is, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God comes near to you. So what's our point? Pray to God to bless us with the Holy Spirit that we may cast out demons and bring the kingdom of God near to other people. Pray that God would give us the power to cast out demons and to bring the kingdom of God near to other people. First time I ever had an experience with a demon, I was 15 years old. Didn't really know anything about anything other than when it happened, I knew what was going on, and I was terrified of what I was facing and literally dropped to my knees and called out to the one name I knew, Jesus, and just said, Jesus, help. And that was all it took. Because Jesus has the power to remove a demon at any time he wants. And Jesus has the power to deliver and bring peace to where there was turmoil and anxiety and worry and heartache. And so having experienced that as a young person and having experienced it as an adult, what I can tell you is one of the prayers that I pray often is, God, give me of your Holy Spirit that I may have power to cast out demons and bring your kingdom near to others. This is something for all of us. This isn't just for pastors. This is, again, something as children of God, as ambassadors, that we should be seeking power from on high. There's no power in mankind to cast out a demon. All the power to cast out demons and bring the kingdom of God near happened by the Holy Spirit. So that, again, is what we're looking for and what this Holy Spirit prayer list is about. It's about the intimacy that we can have with God, where God is saying, ask of me these things, seek it, knock on the door, keep pushing into me to have the things that I offer to my children in order to be a blessing to others. So that is what I'm asking you today. Add this to your Holy Spirit prayer list, that you would ask for the Holy Spirit to cast out demons and bring the kingdom of God near to others. Let them taste and see that God is good. It's more than just words. It is the whole Spirit that comes when we go out on behalf of God. And I also, not that this is a point, but just to notice here, it says in verse 31, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. If anyone speaks a word against the Son of Man, that is Jesus, it'll be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. One thing that I would encourage us to always remember is to not slight the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings the very will and purpose and love of God into our lives. And it is the Holy Spirit that ushers in the kingdom of God into your life and into my life. And we need to be cognizant to what Jesus is saying here, that if you speak against me, I'll forgive it. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. So let's not make that mistake in our walk or in our thinking to slight the Holy Spirit, but rather as we build this Holy Spirit prayer list, realize why Jesus was saying, it's so important, it's to your advantage that I leave, that I would send the Holy Spirit, and these are the things that the Holy Spirit does. So let's remember that, let's think about that, and let's have a heart to bring the kingdom of God to others and to experience God's kingdom more and more in our own lives. Now turn with me over to Matthew chapter 22. And notice with me here in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 41. So when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? And they said to him, the son of David. And he said to him, well, then how then does David in the Spirit, okay? Notice, in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord, that is Yahweh said to my Lord, my Adonai. So it's Yahweh said to my Lord, my master, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So if David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? Great question. Great question. You only know the answer by the Spirit. How do you know who Jesus is? How do you know him as the Son of God? And how do you know the reconciliation of scriptures that say that, yes, the Messiah is the son of David, but yet David himself called the Messiah his Lord? It happened in the Spirit as David did it, and it happens in the Spirit as we do it, to have a revelation that this one who was the Word, who was with God and was God, as it says in John chapter 1, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten. So the one who made all things, Jesus the Christ, as it says in Colossians 1:16, that God made all things through him. And as it says back in John 1, there was nothing that was made that was not made by him. He did everything, things seen and unseen. The one that we acknowledge as Lord was there creating. The one who was leading as Lord was there. And the one who became flesh was the one who was, who came, and who is yet to come again. He is declared, as it says in Revelation, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Interesting verse. And this, again, this is something that is, can be very powerful when you talk to those who are Jews but do not accept the New Testament. Because the question is still as relevant as when Jesus asked it then. How does he call him Lord when he's a son? How does that make sense? And then in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4, it says, who is it that stretched forth the earth? Who is it that made it? In fact, let's just hop over there. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? What is God's name and what is his son's name, if you know? It's a mystery that is revealed very plainly and clearly in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. But it actually is all woven through the Old Testament as well. The beauty of God the Father and of Jesus Christ the Son. Let's continue on here. And we will take a look now at Mark chapter 1, verse 9. Mark chapter 1 and verse 9. Continuing on the Holy Spirit prayer list, I hope that you're getting excited just by the things that are being shown here in the New Testament, to things to be thinking about, meditating on, asking God for, so many beautiful things. Notice here, as we continue on, this is in Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 13. And so it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with wild beasts and angels ministering to him. I want you to see what brought Jesus to the wilderness, because he was not following his own dictate, but rather the Spirit of God came upon him and it literally says drove him. And if you look up the word in the Greek, you're going to see that it means drove him. That's what it means. Literally pushed him out to the wilderness. For what purpose? To be in a wilderness where there wasn't anything, to be in a wilderness where there's wild beasts, to be in a wilderness where he's to be tempted by Satan the devil. Now, I want you to think about the ramifications of this, because as we just are now in this period of going from the days of unleavened bread to Pentecost, here we are on Sabbath number 4, 28 days into this count to the 50th day, the day of Pentecost, the day of freedom. And when we think about the freedom that's in the Spirit, it was also God who basically thrust out the children of Israel out of Egypt and pushed them into a wilderness for what? For their testing. And this is the thing that God wants us to see, that where the Israelites went into the wilderness and it ended up becoming a place of failure for them, what it was for Jesus being thrust by the Spirit out into the wilderness and among wild beasts. It was the place where he demonstrated by the power and word of God his authority over the evil one and the wicked one. He was not in any subjection to the wicked one who came. And he came with the temptations, doing what? Offering things. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Offering Christ things that he believed that he possessed and that he would have, that he could give to Jesus. And Jesus basically, using God's word, said, no. You're not going to try to twist this. You're not going to use God's word incorrectly. I'm going to speak to you by the word of God and in the Spirit. And Jesus overcame the tempter. So as we look at these times of going into the wilderness and being thrust into a wilderness, God wants us to see the distinction here of the way Jesus did it. Looking to God, fasting, praying. What was it that happened before he did? He was baptized for righteousness' sake, and he received of the Holy Spirit. You and I need the Holy Spirit to overcome the wicked one. You and I need the Holy Spirit to drive us to where we need to be. And don't think that the Holy Spirit is always driving you away from testing and always driving you away from the wild beast and always driving you away. You know, sometimes we're like, I got to get out of this state, or I got to get out of this country. I got to get out. Well, maybe. Or maybe God has a different plan for you where you are. Sometimes you need to be in the darkest places for the light to shine forth. And sometimes God keeps people right in the midst to say, no, here's the true God. I mean, Daniel was a leader in the government of Babylon. He didn't tell him to get out of Babylon. He was a leader in the government of Babylon, and he used them as a bright, shining light right there. And when they said, you may not pray to anyone else, what did Daniel do? He goes home. He opens his windows, and he prays. And yes, his life was forfeit to death, thrown into a lion's den. And what happened? God saved him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, governors in Babylon. And they shined as brilliant lights in the midst of darkness so that they could be who God wanted them to be in that moment. And when they were thrust in the furnace because they would not bow down to the image, not only were the three in there, the four were in there. One like the Son of Man joined them. One like the Son of Man showed loyalty to them. One like the Son of Man brought them to the place they needed to be. My friends, if you get something from this Holy Spirit prayer list, and as we go through point after point, I beseech you, I beg of you, this is where the church needs to wake up and understand that it's not about your reason, your logic, or your rationale. It's not about you figuring out what any ungodly person can figure out. It's coming to God Himself and saying, I need help. I need direction. I want to do your will and go your way. Drive me where you want me to go. It is not our place to tell God where we will go and what we will do. It is God's place to direct us. Will we have the humility to ask Him to drive us to the places He wants us to be? Friends, ministry is so much about baptism and laying down your life for Christ and then following the Spirit wherever He leads you to go. And if that is not fundamental and foundation to our Christianity, then what is it we're doing? What is it we're doing? Do we think we have ownership over ourselves? Were we not bought with a price? So you go where God wants you to go. Let God be at the lead of your life and watch what wonderful things come to pass. But I can tell you, if you knock against what God wants, in what confidence would you come and even pray this Holy Spirit prayer list? If God is not who you're submitting to first, then what are you doing asking for things that you don't really want? These are dangerous prayers. They're dangerous because they can take us out of our comfort zones. They can take us where we don't want to go. They can bring us to places where there are wild beasts and where there is temptation and where things can be very dark. But We're not here to live a comfortable life. We're here to pursue the kingdom of God and all his righteousness and the transformation and the power of God's Spirit, that in jars of clay, we would overcome principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, that we would take a stand for Almighty God and say, this is what we do because we're his. That is what drives us. And in this time, I hope that you are seeing that in this Holy Spirit prayer list, what God is beseeching us to do is to look at him. We can get so distracted by looking at what the world is trying to do, looking at what man is trying to do, even thinking that we are fighting with men when we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. But we can think that we are, and we can put so much attention on those that we don't like or people that have policies that we don't like. We are so missing it if that's our perspective. The perspective that God wants us to have is we are his. And the way we view the world is we're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but against these things of the world. And what is being tested is our character and our spirit. And what would God have you to do? Whether you know the facts behind every conspiracy, behind every plan, behind everything that might be going on by man. And yes, there were conspiracies to put Jesus to death. What was his focus? Was he constantly worrying on how people were going to put him to death? Or was he doing his Father's business, focused on the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, preaching the gospel, preaching the good news, telling people what was going to happen, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the demons, and on his Father's plan being focused? Because I will submit to you that you will find in the scriptures that what people of God do is focus on the truth. And yes, when you focus on the truth in the right ways, yes, you will break off shackles. Yes, you will break off oppression. Because there are certain things that God gave to every man, woman, and child that he created that you have rights and liberties afforded to you by God himself. When the United States was founded, it was founded upon a thought of God gave us rights. To everyone, not just to some, to everyone. And these rights allow you, as a human being created by God, the sovereign of the universe, to be who you're supposed to be. What made the United States so awesome was that the government understood this, and in understanding it said, we're not supposed to be telling people what to do. We're supposed to protect their rights and protect them from harming each other and enforce contracts and bring about peace in society, but that everyone can pursue their opportunities and the liberties granted not by man, but by God. And in that, we should be focused on the liberty afforded by God, the endowments of rights afforded us by God, and use those things to do what? Worship him, focus on him, serve him. Do you remember the story of the 10 virgins? The 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom. Why? Because they all knew the bridegroom was coming. They all knew. And they all slumbered and they all slept. My friends, this is the church. The virgins going out to meet the bridegroom, the bride going out, and the church sleeps and slumbers. But when they slept and slumbered and they woke because people are saying the bridegroom's coming, who was it that was ready to go in when the bridegroom showed up? Those who had the oil. And when those who didn't have oil were told, hey, we can't give you our oil, but go buy some for yourself. They went and bought and came back. And what happened? The bridegroom said, I never knew you. He said, I didn't know who you were. Beware lest you know that the bridegroom is coming, but you spend your focus and time not being filled up with the oil of God, but rather be filled up with the knowledge of what's happening in the world. You can be focused on totally the wrong things. And you can think you're doing the right thing, and maybe you even have the right knowledge, and maybe even it's the truth of what's happening. But God's plan is the one that counts, and the relationship with him is the one that matters. And the commandment has not changed to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And what he says is watch. Watch and pray, therefore, that you may escape the things that are coming to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watching isn't figure out the conspiracy. Watching is being spiritually alert and diligent. When Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was about to be taken, he knew what was happening. He knew. He was feeling the stress of it. What did he want them to do? Watch. He was saying, be alert with me. Pray. Because why? The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why do we have a Holy Spirit prayer list? Because the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We need God's Spirit in our lives. We need the blessings that are afforded to us by God. And he's saying, you need to have the oil. You need to have the relationship. You need to have the source of the light. And that's what the oil is. It is the source of the light. So now is the time to keep remembering you are to be shining as a light for God in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. To remember that liberty comes from God, that life comes from God, and it would be a shame if all this time you spent sheltering in place and at home was blown away on Netflix and Prime and movies and television and Facebook posting about all the news and all the injustices and all the everything and didn't have God. There's room to read about the news. There's room to read about injustices. But here's what I would say. How is that balancing in your time of prayer with God, in your time of drawing near to him, in a time of coming to peace before him, in a time of saying, God, you're the one I need to be focused on. Most importantly, right now, I need you. So just a priority check. I think this thing is coming to an end. I think the tide has turned. I think people will stand up and declare their liberties and rights, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not governed under God. If it's not the Holy Spirit leading it, but just anger or pride or things of this world and of our flesh. The number one thing to do is still the number one thing to do. And I said that on the first day that I preached the sermon when we went into this period of time because of COVID. And I say it again today. Nothing has changed for the Christian. The things all remain the same, to seek God, to seek him first. All right. So let's turn now over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it says here in Luke 1:41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. So this is, you remember Elizabeth, she's the mother of John the Baptist. And she's hearing the greeting of Mary, that is the mother of Jesus. And the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I love this. Now here we are on Mother's Day weekend. And here we are with a wonderful Mother's Day verse. You ever think about babies in the womb and what they know? Look at this baby in the womb. This baby's leaping. Why is this baby leaping? Because who showed up also in the womb? Notice again, verse 41. It happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, and the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. Awesome. Totally awesome. So are babies alive and having knowledge in the womb according to the Bible? Yes. And are mothers connected to their kids? And does the Holy Spirit give knowledge of who the mothers are and who the kids are? Yes. I'm amazed at the moms in our society and the work that you do and the dedication that you show to your children to love on them, to care for them, and to be so interconnected with them. And ladies, you know, Mother's Day, they call it a Hallmark holiday, but honestly, Mother's Day is a wonderful holiday just to remember you and all the work that you do and our families, to take a day to set aside to just say thank you to you, because your work is often very thankless and it lasts for a long time. And I just know that we as families, as Christians, but just as people, human beings, we need our moms and the help that we receive from our mothers throughout our lives and just the things that you do for all the children of our society. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I love this verse because of the honor that is given to Mary, that the Holy Spirit declared that she was blessed, and also the honor that is given to Jesus. And Elizabeth taking of the honor, even saying, who am I that I should even know this? Who am I? And what an appreciation we can have from God to even recognize that God gives us the knowledge of where the moms are. And again, finishing up here, noticing here in verse 45, it says, so blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So she received a knowledge of who Jesus and Mary were to be, and also a fulfillment that was given to her. So what is the prayer? That we would ask God for the Spirit to be given revelation of who people are in God's eyes. A revelation of who people are in God's eyes. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. I was on a business trip in Monterey, California, and I actually had just received some very distressing news. Very distressing. Like life or death kind of distressing news. And I'm walking from the place where I was in a business meeting back to my hotel, and I'm walking down the sidewalk, and I'm walking at a pretty brisk pace. I'm in my own prayer and distressed world before God, and somebody says, excuse me, are you a pastor? I was like, yeah. And I said, do I know you? He said, nope, but you were walking past, and the Lord just told me that man right there is a pastor. And he's telling me that because something's going on. I need to pray for you. Who is this God I serve that tells some stranger that I'm a pastor so he can pray for me? And literally we stop on a public sidewalk, people walking back and forth. And right there on the sidewalk, he's praying for me. Because how are you going to deny that one? He pulled me out, said, and what was amazing was he knew and was acquainted with the problem I was facing. And could pray from a place of deep empathy and compassion. And it was a beautiful thing to experience. But God put on that person the knowledge of who I was and what I was going through in order to pray for me. And God does that to those of us who continually seek and come into the opportunity where God says, they want it, they're available, here's the opportunity. And I've had it happen the other way as well. To have knowledge of someone I didn't know, but enough to be able to approach and say, I know what the issue is. And these are things that come by the Spirit of God. This is part of the communion of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship to know what God is thinking. And the Holy Spirit delivers God's will and God's thinking so that we can know who people are in God's eyes. All right, let's drop down to verse 67 here. I want you to see this one as well. I love these verses. Verse 67, now his father, Zacharias, so this is John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And so the child grew and became strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel, when he began his preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he baptized people into a baptism of repentance. Now, many of the themes that we've seen in these different Holy Spirit prayer list points have focused in a general way around prophetic words or prophecy. And what I want you to notice here is that in these prophetic words, he is giving glory to God, but also specifically telling what his son will do as he blesses his son and as he pronounces the words over him. And I want you to think of the impact of that, because this is not just a prophecy of this event's going to happen. This is not just a prophecy in general, but it's a very specific prophecy for a very specific person, his son, John the Baptist, of what John the Baptist would do in preparing the way of the Lord. That's a pretty cool thing, to be able to receive that from the Holy Spirit and be able to declare it. Maybe you say, well, why is this one of the things that God does in the Holy Spirit? Why is this happening? And why is this one of the things to pray for? It's through the words of prophecy that there can be encouragement, that there can be instruction, that God is saying again in times of darkness, here's what's going on and here's what I'm going to do. So that you can know what he's doing, what his plan is, and what he's going to do. These are important things to give us the confidence to move in the right directions. It's so much easier if you know what God is going to do for you or in you or in someone else to take steps to see that through. So praying, God, help me to be available to hear from you for what you are doing with my children, to hear what you're doing with me, to hear what you are doing with others, to be available to speak your word. If it would provide edification and encouragement, either to that person or to those that hear about that person. So what beautiful things to ask for. So we're praying for the Holy Spirit that we would receive the gift to prophesy who a person is and what they'll do for the glory of God. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 2 now in verse 25. Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I got to tell you, I pray that prayer sometimes. Like, I'm kind of like, God, I'd love to not see death and see the return of Jesus. And then there's other times I'm like, well, maybe I'd rather be sleeping in the grave and then be woken up to see Jesus. And, you know, you do get up there faster, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4, right? Those who are alive and remain will not precede those who are dead. The dead in Christ rise first, and then those who are alive and remain shall rise up to meet him. So you're a little faster ahead if you're already dead. But anyway, what an awesome thing to have a revelation that he was going to see the Messiah before he died. I think how intimate that is and how tender that is, that God, through the Holy Spirit, was sharing with this man, you're not going to die till you see the Savior. I love you so much. I want you to know this because I want to share this with you before you die. I just think it's absolutely beautiful that God thinks in these terms, that even humbles himself to think about us individually this way and to talk about this. So continuing on here in Luke chapter 2, in verse 27, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up into his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And so, again, how did all this take place? How did this interaction happen? These moments of intimacy between Jesus' parents and this man, the moments of intimacy between the father and this man, and to know that he was now able to die in peace. It was all by the Holy Spirit. So pray that God will reveal what will happen in your life and lead you where to go. Notice in John 6, verse 63, a very straightforward phrase. It is the Spirit who gives life. Do you want life? Do you want it more abundantly? Do you want God in you? You need the Holy Spirit. This is daily. This is what we need every day, the Holy Spirit. So pray for God to give us life by the Holy Spirit. Let's turn over to John chapter 7. Do you want this life and do you want to be able to give it to others? Notice in John chapter 7, verse 37, where it says that Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Given to the whole church, to all who would believe in Jesus, in his death and resurrection, that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and that rivers of living water would flow out of us. Notice in John chapter 14. Notice with me in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." That is another. Someone like me, but not me. "I will pray and give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Ask God that you would have a helper abiding in you. Ask God that you would have a helper abiding in you, the Holy Spirit. In verse 26 of the same chapter, notice what it says in verse 26. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I said to you." He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things I said to you. So notice this. We have 2 points I want to take from this one verse. First is to be taught all things. That's awesome. It says over in the book of 1 John, you have no need to be taught by man, because the Spirit, the anointing, comes upon you to teach you all things. But then also the next point, to have brought to remembrance the things Jesus said. To have brought to remembrance. The importance of having something brought to your remembrance. To have the words to speak when you need them. To be able to draw upon the sword of the Spirit when you need it. To speak the word of God. I love this promise. And I have prayed for this promise many times. And God has delivered this promise. Maybe as much as anything that I've ever personally received. To have a word of Scripture when I wasn't sure the answer. And then to have a remembrance brought of some scripture in the Bible that addressed it. So pray for this. Pray that God would give you the Holy Spirit to have the things of Jesus brought to your remembrance. Notice in chapter 15, verse 26. "But when the helper comes, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Wouldn't you just love to be like in a classroom or a court and the Holy Spirit is just telling you and testifying all about Jesus? I love the imagery of it and the experience of it personally when the Holy Spirit gives a revelation and a testimony about Jesus, that you realize, Jesus, it's not just the forgiveness that comes, but how deep the forgiveness is, how far it runs, how the truth of the forgiveness in Christ runs deep, because this wasn't just like a human forgiving a human, but it was Emmanuel, God among us, who for our forgiveness emptied himself of glory that he had with the Father before the world began, to come and find himself in a form of flesh. Now that makes that forgiveness that much deeper. And then you think, well, wait, is this the first and the last? Is this the one who was with God and was God? Is this the one through whom God made all things? And he's interested in my forgiveness? And then what happens is you explore the forgiveness and then you see your own depth of sin that I talked about here in the series earlier. And as I saw it in myself, and you're like, wait, I am so wretched and you are so good. And yet you are like wanting to forgive me. Who is this God that we serve? That he who is perfect and would have every right and justification to judge me for all of the iniquities in my heart and in my practice. He says, I'm not looking to judge you. I'm looking to save you. I want to forgive you. See, the Holy Spirit testifies that to you and me personally. That is the way it comes out for me. I could talk a lot longer about the forgiveness of Christ and what it means to me. But for you, to ask God for the Holy Spirit, God, please testify to me of Jesus. Help me to understand my Lord. Help me to understand his character, his forgiving nature, his mercy. Help me to understand his compassion. Help me to understand how he wasn't there to judge. He was looking for who wants to be served. Help me to think like Jesus. Testify that I would be so well acquainted with him that I can't even think of any other life than trying to be like my Lord and Savior. Because that's what a disciple does. That's who a disciple becomes, to totally vest ourselves in Christianity and this walk with Jesus Christ. So ask God to bless you with the Holy Spirit to testify of Jesus, that we would know him better, that we would receive that testimony. Turn with me over now to John chapter 16. We're going to pick up several points here in John 16 as we roll toward an end of this message. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." Now, again, I can't emphasize this enough. We talked about not blaspheming the Holy Spirit earlier in this message, but also the encouragement of how Jesus made a strong point that you need the Holy Spirit, that you need this advantage. And we should be asking constantly for the advantage of the Holy Spirit, the need for the Holy Spirit, and realizing that God has shared all that the Holy Spirit has done for his servants over centuries and over millennia, and what the Holy Spirit will do for us. But he says, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So we're going to take John 16 and notice there in verse 8, to convict the world of sin, to convict the world of righteousness, to convict the world of judgment. So John 16, verses 8 to 10. And notice he says here in verse 9, of sin because they do not believe me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of the world is judged. Now, I'm not going to spend the time to talk about what these three things mean, but I am going to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit what these three things mean if you don't understand it today. Because the Holy Spirit, who does this work of convicting of righteousness and of judgment because of sin, because they do not believe, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and because of judgment because of the ruler of this world is judged. These three points are brilliant. It's incredible and deep and rich teaching that I would encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, who will teach you all things, to give you deeper understanding of these things. And you can cheat and find a sermon. I've talked about these before. Or maybe I'll talk about them again. But right now, I'm encouraging you to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you these things if you don't have a full understanding of what these mean. Notice down in verse 13 now where it says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So a couple things here to notice. However, he, the Spirit of truth, has come. He will guide you into all truth. Pray that God would bless you with his Spirit to guide you into all truth. And then also notice there at the end, and he will tell you things to come. So two points that we're taking, that he will guide you into all truth and he will tell you things to come. And notice, I guess we could add this point as well, that he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. You can hear the words and thoughts of God from heaven by the Holy Spirit. What does God think? You can say, God, what do you think of what's going on in our society? God, what do you think about this in my life? God, what do you think about the way I'm behaving right now? God, what do you think? And receive from God things that the Holy Spirit can give to us from God in heaven himself. And then let's finish here now in verses 14 to 15. It says of the Holy Spirit, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. To have the things of Jesus declared to you, to me. We pray, Father, you offered us the Holy Spirit. It is better than bread or fish or eggs or anything we can physically eat. It is what comes from you and gives true nourishment to us. Your Spirit, your Word, give us life, give us understanding, makes it so we're not orphans here, but we have your help in every way. Let's think about these things. Let's add to our list. And I ask you, please, if you didn't do it this week, set your alarm for every day. You don't have to go through the whole prayer list every day, but go through some of it. Think about it. Just pray through a few points. Pray till you are satiated with the Spirit for that day. But ask every day for something specific of the Holy Spirit. Learn what these things are and just start asking over and over. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Because it is your Father's goodwill to give good gifts to those who ask him, and certainly to give you of his Holy Spirit. Let's worship him.